today on Compassion Radio.
How at home are we in the love of God to recognize that He's quite at home with our failures?
Yeah.
He has no illusions about us, so He doesn't really get disillusioned. He's not afraid of wrong answers or wrong steps. He's willing to say, son, daughter, get on the pony again and let's try it. And I'm with you. He rather enjoys our trying, because the end result is we grow in wisdom, we grow in discernment, and we grow also in humility is factored in there. We grow in the ability to say, I'm sorry, Lord, or I'm sorry, Ted or Sally, I missed it.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Well, we know that God speaks to us through His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us through other people, and sometimes in dreams. Today, Bram connects with Rob and Katie Mazza, a couple who ministers in a variety of ways, including dream interpretation. One of the ways they use their giftings is by making regular trips to the Burning Man Festival in Black Rock, Nevada. This week they'll be sharing, among other things, the incredible work God is doing in the hearts of many of the young people at that huge and, as some might say, controversial event. Also joining Bram today, a friend of this ministry and co-laborer with the Mazzas, Andrea Barrather. I'm Frank Montenegro. God wants to bless you through this powerful series, so text a friend right now and tell them to listen in and stay right where you are. Here's Bram with part one of this series.
Friends, Compassion Radio is all about digging into the very heart of where God is at work in many places around the world. And the U.S. is no exception. There's a lot of stuff going on within our own borders that has international and eternal consequence. And I'm sitting in a living room meeting a wonderful couple for the first time because of another friend who's been dear to me for many years. So let me introduce them quickly. We have Rob and Katie Mazza here from the Destiny Workshops. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And Andrea Barrather has been a friend for many, many years. You've been involved with these two doing some incredible work at a specific location and time every year, and you've been a team director. Andrea, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Rob, you have been a dreamer in your ministry. You've been stepping out of things that have been probably beyond the expectations of most leadership because you're a bit of an artist and a bit of a iconoclast. God had to kick into gear some things in your heart and mind that only He could draw you to. He designed you a certain way for a certain kind of ministry, which you've been discovering in the past few years. So tell me, first of all, the kind of spiritual gift that God made very evident in you through your experience.
I think I had this sort of this latent gift of being able to somewhat interpret dreams. Mm. When I ran into a ministry called Streams Ministry, John Paul Jackson was its head in Texas. And what caught my attention was they went to the Salt Lake City Olympics. They interpreted the dreams of over 150 people. My spirit just kind of jumped up and down like a Jack Terrier. And I said, I want in.
You want in.
Because I was pretty bored at that part of my life.
It wasn't like you were never involved with ministry or hadn't tried. You've been in the center of doing things that were prophetic. I mean, that would seem to be your core strength, spiritually speaking, that
very
you could
true.
Speak truth to things that were mysterious.
Yeah, very true.
So why dreams? Why in this modern age, when we look back on biblical history and say, well, that stuff seems to be kind of the stuff of legend. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Everything's wide open to us. Why do we need to go back to those disciplines that we read about with Joseph and Moses and all the kind of dreams that transformed their lives and ministries that we read about in the Old Testament? Why is that still something you believe is happening today?
Basically, dreams are part of humanity. Mm. And I really believe God gave humanity dreams as a vehicle for Him to speak unhindered. And the audience here would know that in Muslim countries where it's totally blocked off to the gospel, many, many people are coming just by virtue of a dream. It's so common there.
The distance between dream and vision is very tenuous. So they won't even talk about them being different in many countries, especially within the Sufi discipline within Islam, that
right.
They expect God to show up and say things that are true.
Right.
In ways that have to be supernatural and require the investment of another to interpret.
Right.
They literally believe that they cannot get the full vision of God without someone else intervening for them to help interpret. So we've seen that on a number of our travels in the Middle East.
Right. Exactly. And if we would do our church history, church fathers, Tyrian, and many of them said most of the known world is coming to Jesus Christ through dreams or visionary encounters. And we would postulate, has this ever stopped? Or has the church changed, you know, maybe the turn of the last century when we got so rational and full of psychology and we begin to discount that supernatural part of our makeup?
When we got more materialistic, when we got more reductionist
yes.
in our thinking, that we assumed then that we can break down the particles ourselves
yeah.
and then study the little pieces and come to some sort of consensus within our own wisdom
right.
and say, well, that doesn't fit within my theology. We need to make it fit the theology rather than let God trump our own preconceptions. But we're not talking about just trying to turn the church loose in some wild, wild west of unknown spirits here. I assume, because of what I've heard about the work you've done over the years, that you are talking about a very disciplined, focused, and centered discipline so that the dreams do not take people off into strange spirits.
We brought up the Holy Spirit earlier, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So I would maybe pose a challenging question. Wouldn't the Holy Spirit be the trustworthy one to interpret a dream? The comments of both Daniel, who was very close to God, and Joseph, who was very close to God, was, do not dream interpretations belong to God. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit and us acknowledging we all have our own Holy Spirit, couldn't we take the quantum leap of faith to say, he knows? If we'll ask the questions while we're listening to the dreamer. I might interject here, it's very key for us to become very keen and empathetic listeners, or love.
And the word that's at the root of our program, of course, is compassion, that there's something that has to well up within us to say, God's in love with something here. This person is precious to him. Therefore, what is flowing through them and out of them is something that we need to take with great gravity and gravitas. That we don't treat it lightly, that what God's put in their hearts, even if it seems very strange on the surface, maybe the germ of something great. And I think about the contrast between Jesus walking in the streets and telling parables. We had him in person. So the dreamer, the one that's telling us this great vision of something we've never seen, this kingdom of God, then is available to us to ask questions later. And the disciples did that all through the ministry. What did you mean by this, Lord, when you said? And sometimes he would say, it's not for you to know. Other times he would say, do you not get it yet? Do you not see what I'm trying to say? Here it is. He spells it out. But that's the didactic that happens when you're actually in a classroom setting with a teacher, right? And if the Holy Spirit is going to bring us into all good knowledge and teaching and wisdom, that is a different kind of mentorship that the Holy Spirit is doing in us, but it's no less real. As you mentioned, his language seems to be dreams or visions of things. I think about the times I prayed about things where some flash of an image comes to my mind while I'm praying. I don't discount those things and say, that's not God. I start asking him, what do you mean by that, Lord? Or this vision's got to mean something. And I think all of us who have been earnestly in prayer before have seen something or felt or smelled or heard something that seemed to be supernatural.
Yeah.
So tell me about the experiences then. Katie, you've been involved with this too. The two of you meet along the way to this vision of interpreting dreams and using your gifts that way? Or how did you come together?
No, we came together long before that. Our relationship goes back to the early 80s as we met. We lived in Montana, resort community area in southwest Montana, and we met and married there. And through the years then, we would have dreams, endeavor to interpret them, and grew somewhat in that interpretation. But clarity came when we did get involved with John Paul Jackson's teaching of understanding dreams and visions.
There's a front-end course that highly impacts people. It is my favorite. I'm also a streams teacher. It's my favorite course to teach. It's called The Art of Hearing God. It was sort of a challenging answer to God's gifted church, God's revelatory church, that God is a giver of gifts. Gifts are freely given. But one of our problems in the modern age is we've gotten so focused on gifts that we've forgotten about, I think it's what Eugene Peterson called the long road of obedience in the same direction. Character, honesty, integrity, kindness, the approach.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. In these summer months, it can be a real challenge to connect with and support the ministries you really believe in. Since we are a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, we depend on consistent, faithful giving from our friends to make it through every season. And this summer, we really need you. If you believe in what we do, and you support the amazing work of the people we highlight each day, then we need you to declare that with your prayers and generous gift today. Remember, there literally is no Compassion Radio unless you want it. We've been around for almost 75 years now, but we can't rest on our history, and we can't expect to always be around without your support. We do what we do, where we do it, when you send us. So thank you again for how you've supported and prayed for us in the past. And we thank you for how you'll stand with us now to make sure that we're here to inspire and challenge you today and in the years to come. Here's how you can do just that.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
One of our problems in the modern age is we've gotten so focused on gifts that we've forgotten about, I think it's what Eugene Peterson called the long road of obedience in the same direction. Character, honesty, integrity, kindness, the approach.
The fruit of the Spirit are not rabbit trails.
Yeah, the internal work of God. And how important it was to heavily front end the investment of meeting a complete stranger. They could be heavily involved in witchcraft. They could be atheists. They could be in your face. They could be like putty in your hands. They're ready to talk. But unless we handle it with the eyes of Jesus, with the voice of Jesus, with the heart of, I want to know what's behind their pain, their questions. Gifting doesn't really have that stickability.
That's true. I mean, I think about the kind of the bent we all have does not mean that we're going to bend our needle towards the Spirit and follow him where he wants us to go. It just means that we have a predilection or an ability, like being able to play basketball or fish or paint, like Andrea is such a great painter. We have those gifts, and then we have to figure out whether or not we're going to submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit where he's leading us toward. A question kind of popped in my mind about the veracity of dreams. Now, when we talk about interpreting dreams, I need to ask that question. Are all dreams true?
Well,
we're talking about spiritual things here.
Yeah. For the most part, there's probably an element of truth in all dreams, although there is a category of dreams where the enemy would invade, commonly called nightmares, or there is even something called false dreams where it's an angel of light and it can appear as truth, but as you're listening to it, you know, with some level, hopefully with some level of discernment, you go, wait a minute. There's someone hiding behind a rock here. So for the most part, yes, but there are caveats. As in all things in the Spirit, it's no clear-cut black and white for a lot of
And it requires discernment.
Yeah,
I remember just being in Elim churches or other Pentecostal fellowships around the world where a word would come and might be in a tongue, it might be in a common language, and then they ask for an interpretation or a clarification. And if it did not come or the Scripture was not in agreement, it was obvious this was not of a Spirit that should be admitted, and the wise pastors would be able to shut that down and say, this is not from the Lord. The word of the Lord says. So everything was always checked through the word itself, and then the testimony of the elders would be able to say, this is or is not something of the Lord. And so it's a very disciplined situation. It follows the strictures that Paul puts on those kind of meetings. And so it's very biblical in that respect, very New Testament. But there are other fellowships, and of course, most of the denominations that exist here in the United States, even ones that are considered Pentecostal or assemblies-based, would be much more rational in their approach to these things. They would discuss things rather than following necessarily a prayerful response to the Spirit of God. I think it's part of our Enlightenment age that is pretty much baked into our society.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with dreams, how do you help people get to the point of saying, this is how to look at a dream through the eyes of Christ and not through your own selfishness? Let me put this question another way for you so it doesn't sound so broad. We learn a lot of stuff in church, and we give God 1 hour out of 168 a week and say, talk to us. And then we leave our worship services after being inspired a little bit, being nudged a little bit emotionally, hearing a lot of truth. And then we got to figure out what to do with what we heard. You're saying that God is coming to us throughout the week in different ways and using his own kind of emotional language, which seems to be dreams, where it really kind of expands your whole mind at once, incorporates all the different aspects of the person that he made to sense him and to hear him, to see him. And then he comes to us in other ways that we're more used to, which is through the spoken word, through good preaching, through solid doctrine and theology, and through the fellowship of the saints, being together, speaking one language together in worship, music, and things. That stuff we're familiar with. God speaking to us in dreams, probably not. At least we don't see it that way. We know we've all had dreams. We have recurrent dreams that we all would say, that's part of me. You're saying that they go together. So walk me through that. Give me scripture and steps that you would take to get from a rational, a reasonable Christianity to being a bit open now to what the Spirit might be saying to us through our emotional and subconscious levels, which come out in dreams.
I like to say something about the voice of God. It isn't just dreams being unusual. We were challenged by Native American believers, like, ask the earth, where it says in Job, I don't know the reference, ask the earth and it will tell you. Hmm. So even God's creation has a voice that glorifies him. Hmm. Psalm 19 says, the heavenly sun, moon, and stars and planets declare the glory of God. What does that mean? So challenging questions. To address what you said, I love Hebrews 5:14. It says that by reason of use that we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Or to discern, like, I even would finally slice it, the difference between good and God. And we badly need that in our world today.
There's a whole lot of little goods we try to cling to and avoid God at all costs.
Yeah, but that whole scripture involves that painful thing of getting out of our comfort zone and taking risks. Or, you know, you hear the preacher say something good and dynamic and viable on Sunday morning. The question is, what are you going to do about it on your endless Monday mornings afterwards? How will you put it to use? And it usually involves some level of risk. I'm going to try it. The part about risk that I think that troubles us is we're deeply afraid of failure. And I think that would breach another subject. And how at home are we in the love of God to recognize that he's quite at home with our failures?
Yeah.
He has no illusions about us, so he doesn't really get disillusioned.
He's not whistling, looking the other direction when we
mess up. He's not afraid of wrong answers or wrong steps. He's willing to say, son, daughter, get on the pony again and let's try it. And I'm with you. He rather enjoys our trying because the end result is we grow in wisdom, we grow in discernment, and we grow also in humility is factored in there. We grow in the ability to say, I'm sorry, Lord, or I'm sorry, Ted or Sally, I missed it.
The whole open confession idea of saying I screwed up is not something we ever, ever want to walk in church and say, this is going to be a strength. You know, this will be the way I draw close to God is by telling you, I really messed up this week, Andrea. Aren't you glad to hear that?
Yeah.
You know, we want to walk in with all the glory, with none of the humility. Our fear of failure is genuine. I think our fear of being made a fool is also just as big. And that's as much part of pride as anything else.
Yeah.
I'm hearing what you say about the importance of being open to the Holy Spirit, but I do not want to be shown foolish. I have no idea what I'm doing walking into the situation or into this new experience or what do I do with this weird dream I had? I go to somebody like you saying, can you interpret this for me? I am really concerned probably about being shown to be an idiot or that I really misjudged this or that my dream is really dumb. Mm-hmm. But you in your discerning and wise and kind pastoral role would then invite people to come closer and say, let's talk about this. Get me back to this thread. I imagine that probably God has some dreams bubbling in you that he then led you on a path to get you to this mentor in John Paul Jackson to actually face those things. So if you don't mind telling me a little bit about your experience, what God brought you into your understanding of how he was speaking to you.
Back in 2002, just prior to Rob and I becoming involved with John Paul Jackson's ministry and taking his courses, he offered, a prophetic voice came to our town in Montana, and he said to Rob, you should be dreaming. Rob says, I don't. He said, you should. Rob says, well, I don't. And that voice said, yes, you should. And me, being a prolific dreamer, along with another friend of ours, prayed for Rob and that area of his sleep patterns that he would begin to have dreams. And he did. He had a couple of profound dreams, which
so picking
I
up
believe
from
he'll
there,
tell you about.
Within a day or two, I had my first, and we actually call this, the dream category would be a God encounter dream in a veiled form. So I'm driving in this older car I used to own, and it was an old Datsun that was kind of a wreck. And I'm with an underage girl in the car. And, you know, at that point in life, I was in my late 40s or so. And I remember I was specifically mentoring her. But then the police were coming behind me, and I saw the lights. They're going to pull me over. And right away, I had this guilt feeling like, oh, no, I'm a grown guy with an underage teenage girl. And the policeman comes up to the window and says, hello, Mr. Massa. I go, yes, sir. And he said, oh, I just stopped you because, and he's smiling, because I need to adjust your seatbelts. And so he takes out this whole spaghetti-like thing of seatbelts, and he begins to untangle it. And as he's putting it together, it transforms into this amazing streamlined kind of retro bus that looks very fast. I'm somehow seated in the driver's seat of the bus, and he goes, oh, by the way, I gave you new tires, and I fixed your exhaust system. And then he kind of ushers me over, and then he says, see this bus over here? This is yours. And it's an old 60s hippie bus, belonged to a friend of mine, presumably. And he goes, that's yours too. Dream ends. So I labeled the dream the kind policeman.
Okay.
Obviously, in that dream, I labeled it as Jesus or the Father or something. And so I was being given two ministries within the dream.
Mm.
Despite my quirkiness and my worriedness about inappropriateness and all this stuff, he was having nothing to do with that. Here's a streamlined bus for youth that'll get you there fast. I'm clearing up your exhaust system, some past issues, and tires being filled with air, or the Greek word for air is pneuma.
Pneuma, yeah.
Yeah, spirit. He's giving me an upgrade in the spirit to deal with younger people. And then the other gift was for counterculture, new age, throwback to my hippie days. You know, giving it to me and saying, this is where you're going.
There's a lot more of this great conversation coming up next time on Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-8255. 2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.